So here we are, looking back through the files of the Bunyip for Wednesday the 29th of April 2026. I can't believe it's nearly the end of April.
No, I was doing
Gosh, the days, weeks are scooting past. So yes. My name is Kay. I'm one of your readers along with Jeanette. Hello, Jeanette.
Hi, Kay.
And we're very fortunate to be using the research room at the Gawler Cultural Heritage Centre in the lower ground floor of the Gawler Civic Centre. It's a fine building and a fine family history and history research centre. It's quite exciting now that there's talk about digitising the Bunyip.
Yes, I heard
from 1955
that, yes.
Onwards through Trove. Yes. But of course, it's going to cost hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. The quote that I heard this morning was about 80,000.
Right.
It'll be closer to 100, I think. Mm. So anyone that wants to donate to a very worthy cause, feel free, because it's very worthwhile. I don't think hardly an afternoon goes that someone's not in here looking up old Bunyip copies to find out some family.
Well, it's very frustrating that the Bunyip doesn't go beyond the date it does, so it'll be a wonderful resource for us as well, because we can then look back at some of the more recent stories and get more context for them.
Yes, which is, indeed. Well, you can go for it. Anyway, I'll kick off with 150 years ago presentation. Mr. Chas Edson, who has been for 20 years in the employment of James Martin and Company, was presented with some handsomely bound books by his fellow workmen on Saturday evening last on the occasion of his leaving Gawler to commence farming on York's Peninsula. Wow.
I wonder what the books were.
And I wonder what farming he was going into. I mean, York Peninsula's not too bad. Probably growing barley and wheat, like grain crops. But, good on him. I wonder how he went on. Yes, and as you say, you wonder what the books were.
But books, of course, were a big expense then.
Oh, huge.
And people wouldn't have many. Mm. So getting a gift of books would be quite
absolutely. And that's valid. Why I think we now, those of us that have books and read books and value them, we find it so hard to throw them out.
Yes.
Because we know how important they were to people.
That's right.
To read. Yes. And they were the sign of someone who had education, who had a little, not quite wealth, but had education and wanted to learn and an expanding mind. I think that's what books tell me. But anyway.
Yes. And, of course, people had so much less access to books and to own a book, they were a costly thing.
Yeah.
So it was a mark of,
and even to borrow them, it cost money to borrow them from the libraries. Yes. Because if you kept them, then the library would.
But also, this was a subscription library here in Gawler. It wasn't a free library until the 70s.
And then meant also that you could, that subscription helped pay for more books.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, we had to pay. We had the mobile library and we had to pay to borrow the book. That didn't stop me because I guess my family could afford to pay.
And of course, the anniversary they had of Gawler Library was for it becoming a public, free public library.
Ah.
Because before that it wasn't a free public library.
The subscription.
Yeah. Mm. In Ballarat we had a free public library. The Institute Library was subscription.
Ah. Well, you see, this libraries. Was a subscription library.
So 100 years ago, rain. The last weekend settled for South Australia the protracted and anxious question of droughts and water supplies. The rain which fell was not of the nature of deluge, but was more in the nature of a preliminary breakup of the season. And, of course, by this time of year, the farmers are starting to look for it.
Yeah, well, by May, you want to have your crops in by the end of May, King's holiday weekend. I was looking at the forecast for this weekend, and a couple of days ago, the Bureau was forecasting 15 millimetres of rain on Saturday and Sunday and then 10 on Monday, but they've scaled it back to 10 millimetres on 4 to 10 and 2 to 10. And I think, I'll be in the area which is 4 if we're lucky and 2 if we're lucky. But, 10 millimetres would be wonderful.
It would,
To settle the dust. Like plants are just starting to die again.
They germinate. Stop watering and then start again.
Well, the plants germinate out in the paddock and then you think, okay. And the trouble is when they die off, the seed's gone.
Yes, so there's no seed left to germinate when it does rain.
Yeah. No, so unless you get the quick follow-up rain, you're stuck. 50 years ago, now it's a pet rock price war. I have to be slow saying that. Yes. Feeling lonely or depressed? In need of a friend? Need someone to talk to in confidence? Well, Well, your problem can be solved for only $1.50, the price of a pet rock. Pet rocks are now available locally at less than half the price advertised by big Adelaide department stores, with no loss in quality performance. The retailer here is Gordon Lewis of Williston, who says his pet rocks are more attuned to SA conditions. And there's a photograph of Gordon Lewis with some of his pet rocks.
I'd forgotten about the pet rock
and
craze.
This is the bird cage, and he's holding a bird cage with rocks in it. He says it's not a necessity for owners. But you know what people do now? Mm. They have rocks and they paint little messages on them.
Mm.
Or they paint them bright colours and then you just leave them randomly under trees. And there's actually a Facebook group about random rocks or whatever it's called.
Okay.
And you pick it up and you take it to another place or you put yours in there with a message for someone else to find.
I don't know if it's still on our bench, but it was for a long time, this brightly painted rock that... When Patrick was working for the charity Door Knocking, a little girl gave him this painted rock she'd done.
Oh.
And he really treasured that because he got a lot of unkindness and rudeness. So having,
absolutely.
You know, someone that was really being kind.
Yeah.
And he, so we had that. We've got, I think it is still there, the painted rock the little girl gave him.
Yeah.
25 years ago, 150-year tradition ends. A tradition spanning nearly 150 years will draw to an end when Gawler's Kingsford Hotel closes its upstairs meeting room to local groups. For almost 150 years, the historic hotel has been a favourite haunt for literary, cultural and community organisations, holding regular and annual meetings.
That was a shame. It used to be really... I've been to meetings upstairs there and I'm not sure why they changed.
Maybe Probably because it was access.
It was very run down in the end. And it's a bit like Cafe Nova upstairs. We used to have functions up there and meetings. That's gradually got run down. But I think, why don't they convert them like the Gawler Arms? They've converted their upstairs room to accommodation. And it is luxury accommodation. Okay. Really beautiful.
Mm. Well, that's what they originally were, of course. They were
the pubs were.
Because they had to by law in Australia.
And when I travel... Now, I look for the pubs because I feel actually safer in a pub because it's got people around and you're not outside the building, except early in
the
morning.
Plus, you can go down to the restaurant to have a coffee. Yeah. And we did that in Victor Harbour. We stayed a few times at a hotel down in Victor Harbour and we booked in one time. And when we got there, the place was locked up. It was a Monday night and they were closed.
Oh.
And we booked and paid. So we finally, I think we rang, I saw there was a key lock and we rang a number and we got the key code and we had a key. So we went in, but we had the entire place to ourselves and it was just uncomfortable. It was uncanny.
Yeah.
It didn't, I don't know, it felt haunted, this big old historic hotel and we were the only ones in it. So after that we found out that we didn't
Stayed in one, it's coming back from New South Wales, just road trip, and I think it was at, might have been at West Wylong or somewhere like that. Anyway, I stopped and it said accommodation, saw the pub and I thought, oh, that'll do. But it was actually motel rooms out the back of the pub. But that was still fine because I just felt safer being attached to a pub for some reason. Anyway, 10 years ago, Barossa businessman takes on champion. Independent politician Nick Xenophon has set his sights on the Wakefield electorate, announcing a candidate for the seat at the upcoming federal election. Barossa man Richard Inwood, who manages the co-op at Nuyutpa, will be tackling the issue of employment as a major platform during his campaign, claiming that the major parties have ignored the region's expanding jobless statistics. And, of course, the reference of Champion in the headline was Nick Champion, who was the member for Wakefield. Now the member for, that's federal member
his
for
state,
Wakefield, now he's state member for Taylor.
Yeah. He had children, I think, and couldn't do the Canberra thing, which is fair.
And he's a minister, doesn't have far to go home.
No.
But that brings it to an end for this week.
Yes, until next week.
Until next week, Jeanette. For all life's signs.